Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
I'm Alice Rhee, filling in for Brian Lehrer. As 2006 comes to a close, when we welcome a new year, we make resolution promises, but we also try to predict what will happen in 07. Do you have any predictions for the big stories that everyone will be talking about next year? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Okay, listeners, let's hear from you. Tell us what you're predicting is the big stories for 2007. The world of politics, culture, money, sports, publishing. Locally, will one of the biggest stories be Elliot Spitzer and his new administration? Also, what about the trans fat ban? French fries, subway fares, and New York City's affordable housing, or shall we say lack thereof? Will the stock market hit a record 13,000 as the housing market makes a soft landing and oil prices stabilize? Or will the declining dollar and weaker housing prices cause interest rates to rise as the average consumer feels the pinch? So what are the stories that everyone will be talking about in 2007? Will Angelina and Brad adopt a child from India? Britney makes a comeback? I'm trying not to insert a comment here. And K-Fed finally exhaust. Will he finally exhaust his 20 minutes or so of fame? And acting as our guide into the future is Slate's contributing editor for legal affairs, Emily Bazelon. So let's take a look at what that big crystal ball, and I'm not talking about the one in Times Square. Good morning, Emily, and welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much.
So undoubtedly, the presidential race for 2008 will be one of the hottest stories next year.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, we're already seeing these very early announcements as John Edwards throws his hat into the ring.
Right, just today.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we are expecting Hillary Clinton and John McCain to follow, and perhaps Barack Obama as well. And, you know, I think the big story here will, first of all, be a fundraising story. Can the kind of better-known candidates really get the kind of financial support behind them that makes it hard for lesser-known candidates to really mount much of a challenge?
Right, so it's following the money.
Following the money, and then I guess also a sort of subset of that is following the key players, you know, the staff people on both the Democratic and the Republican side that candidates are most eager to line up. If candidates start really grabbing the lion's share of those important inside players, that will also be a hard initial advantage to overcome.
So you think Barack's the one to watch? Is that story going to fizzle out in a few months?
Well, you know, we're all, I think, both in the press and the public, a lot of us are having a kind of Barack Obama romance right now.
And Barack mania.
I'm sorry?
Barack mania.
Yeah, Barack mania. And, you know, it's just so hard to tell right now whether this will fizzle or whether it will go anywhere. I think, you know, it's hard not to be hopeful about it. One of McCain's top advisors has called Obama a hope machine, and I think that that's true in general, you know, for his the possibilities of his candidacy and also for the degree to which he's kind of energized discussion about the whole upcoming presidential election. So I think we'll have to hope that, you know, it plays out for a while and we really get to see it, just because it will be really fun to watch.
Now, what do you expect out of the Republican camp? Who do you expect to see?
Well, I think that, you know, John McCain is going to be a big player in this, and he has a really interesting path to take, because he's been so strongly adamant about increasing troop levels in Iraq. That's not going to be an especially popular position. However, if a troop surge does take place, then it will be harder, I think, for McCain to distance himself from Iraq policy, which I think will be, you know, an obvious tack for every candidate to take, given how failed it's been. So that will be really interesting to watch unfold. Mitt Romney has some challenges. He sort of seemed to be promising early as the candidate of the social conservative right wing, the religious right, and now he's having these troubles potentially about having seemed too moderate several years ago. And, you know, that makes it seem like he's sort of, you know, twisting in the wind and not especially someone who's abiding by his convictions. So that's something to watch. And then we've got Rudy Giuliani. You know, could his candidacy really catch fire? I'm sort of skeptical about him, but a lot of people seem excited about him, even in, you know, parts of the country that are very far from New York. And then we've got on the outsides people like Senator Sam Brownback, who have, you know, these impeccable far-right credentials and should be able to make some headway with them.
Sure. Emily, let's take a call. We've got John on the phone from Riverhead. John, go ahead.
Good morning. I think the interesting change that will happen is finally U.S. relations with Cuba will start improving, that the Democratic Congress is going to end travel restrictions, at least on Cuban Americans, and probably, I hope they end them on all of us so we can all go, but I think they'll at least modify them. And this will get a lot closer to where two-thirds of Americans already are who want to have normalization of relations.
So, John, let me ask you, there was a report by a Spanish doctor that Fidel Castro does not have cancer. Mm-hmm. He's put his brother in charge. You expecting a regime change? You expecting any major shifts?
No, I've been to Cuba half a dozen times in the last 10 years, and I'm about to go again.
Why is that? Why do you go?
I think the situation is that there has been a transition of leadership, and it's even the major U.S. government experts, CIA and others, are surprised at the smoothness of that transition. Miami acknowledges the smoothness of the transition. And so that sort of fantasy that Fidel's either passing away or being forced by health to retire, suddenly leading to a cataclysmic change, just isn't going to happen. So people are recalculating what American interests are. The Undersecretary of State was at the American Society a couple of weeks ago talking about 2007 as the year of engagement. And clearly Cuba is the place where we most desperately need it, since everyone else in the world is there and thinks we ought to be there, too.
So, John, why do you go to Cuba so often? For work, for family?
It's for work. I'm with a non-governmental organization, and we worked for three decades to bring about normal relations with Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia, and we're doing the same thing with Cuba. And, you know, Vietnam, politically and in terms of legal issues, is not so different than Cuba. Economically, it's very different because they've had a chance to experiment and adopt market processes, and I think the Cubans, especially Raul, seems much more inclined towards the Chinese and Vietnamese model economically, and that's the direction they're going to be going.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling in, John. All right, listeners, let's hear from you. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Tell us what you're predicting about the big stories for 2007. All right, let's take another caller. Cyrus from Brooklyn.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I predict that in 2007 there will be no snow because of SUVs.
Cyrus, how old are you?
I'm 11.
Now, why do you think there's not going to be any snow?
Because of global warming.
And what do you know about global warming?
That the big SUVs pollute the air and makes a big hole down in Alaska.
Well, that's a very thoughtful comment. Have you seen that the former Vice President Al Gore has a film out about global warming?
Yes, I have. My dad has told me about it.
I see. Well, you are a very well-informed young man. Thanks for your call, Cyrus.
Thank you.
Emily, you want to weigh in on anything?
Well, just to be a little more specific about global warming, the news today had an item about the idea that polar bears may be listed on the endangered species list. So that is certainly in line with our listeners' thoughts about this.
Yes, our profound thoughts from an 11-year-old. My goodness. Now, let's talk about Iraq. Tough story. But you think we're going to see some changes here with the Democrats in power, with the troop increase, troop decrease?
Well, I mean, I do think that a troop surge is likely, that it may explain why the president has, you know, put off making a major speech or commitment about the future of Iraq. I mean, we've really had this very odd vacuum for the past several weeks, waiting for the president to decide what he's going to do. But I think it's likely that troop levels will rise in the short term. And, you know, it's hard for me, at least, not to see this as a kind of Hail Mary pass where, okay, we're going to, you know, make one last attempt. And then if it doesn't work, it'll be easier to sort of blame the Iraqis for the failure. That's at least the cynical take on this. You know, one hopes, obviously, that this troop increase would actually help stabilize Baghdad and some of the other provinces, and that we won't just see, you know, increased American and Iraqi casualties as a result of them.
Yeah, that's right. Let's take another call from Ben in Manhattan. Hey, Ben.
Hey, this is Ben. Yeah, my prediction is actually that podcasts and minor media will start becoming more mainstream and maybe even see some shows picked up by major networks.
Clarify, what do you mean exactly? What kind of shows?
Well, I myself am a podcaster, and I mean, you know, like one of the big trends nowadays is video blogs, you know, like minor series or TV shows you can download onto your iPod, or, you know, even like YouTube has some shows, you know, exclusive YouTube and Google Video, and these shows I just see getting bigger. And as gimmicky as I thought the Time magazine cover was, you know, with you
right.
as the person of the year, I kind of feel that there really is a big trend towards, minor media becoming very mainstream and, you know, becoming accepted. And, you know, because TV is suffering also, there's been a lot of reports on how it's decaying. I see a collaboration between the two as, you know, kind of inevitable.
Right, the old and the new media. Thanks for your thoughts, Ben.
Thank you.
Let's take another caller, Harold from Stamford, Connecticut. Harold, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Go ahead.
One of the things that I think is going to be happening this next year is we're going to be seeing some decisions coming down from the U.S. Supreme Court on major social issues, primarily abortion, which I think is really going to indicate what the conservative bent of the court is. And, you know, I think there's going to be some real backlash in terms of whether those decisions are reflective of how people in the country feel.
Well, Emily Bazelon, do you want to weigh in? She's the Slate contributing editor for Legal Affairs.
Yes, sure. You know, I think you're absolutely right. This is going to be a moment of truth term for the court. We've got this school integration case that is, you know, sort of about the future of Brown versus Board of Education, and then also has a sort of affirmative action side to it. And then we've got the partial birth abortion case. And it's going to be fascinating to watch the conservatives deal with those decisions. You know, if you think of the promises that John Roberts and Sam Alito made when they were nominated, that they were going to be judges of modesty and humility and restraint, these are interesting examples for them, because the racial integration case has local school board policies. And so the Supreme Court, if it wants to scrap these voluntary integration policies in a kind of, you know, abstract colorblind sense, is going to have to say that this local control over schools is flawed, and that is not an obvious conservative position to take. And in the partial birth abortion case, they're going to have to, you know, pretty much directly overturn a 2000 Supreme Court decision in order to uphold this federal law, because this law bans a particular abortion procedure without providing a health exception for the mother's health if that's in danger. So, you know, those are going to be big moments for the court. It'll be interesting to see if they address these issues head on, or if they sort of try and punt by finding a very narrow ground on which to, you know, stand together or nearly together. And I think that's a possibility in the partial birth abortion case, but less so in the school race case.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Harold.
Thank you.
And Emily, hang with us. We've got Jonathan from Manhattan.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
Hi.
My prediction is about President Ahmadinejad of Iran.
Okay.
And I'm usually right about these things.
Oh, okay.
He will be watching a particularly exciting Twilight Zone marathon on New Year's Eve and fall asleep at about 4 a.m. He'll have a very harrowing dream in which he's a prisoner in a World War II concentration camp. Out of guilt, he'll wake up, convert to Judaism, apply for political protection, move to Great Neck, and become a pitch man for Ben and Jerry's.
That's a great fantasy.
After that, the crystal ball is hazy.
Jonathan, thanks for your call.
My pleasure.
Thank you. All right, Emily, I'm not quite sure where to go with that, but I've got another caller, Nash from Manhattan. Hey, Nash.
Hey, that was really funny. I like that one. Well, I think what's going to, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know, I need your input on this, but I think there's a lot of, you know, Republican dust that might settle down, and, you know, we might get to see a lot of, like, dirty pictures from inside and the other side once the Democrats take over.
What are we going to see from the Republicans?
You know, the dirty deeds done and hidden up and whatever. You know, I just got some kind of feeling about it.
So you think that the Democrats are going to launch investigations that will show the misdeeds?
Yeah, already. Like, you know, the New Orleans thing, the fiasco in New Orleans, mm-hmm. I don't know if you hear about that. Like, a lot of appropriations being, you know, sent out towards pro-Republican something. I don't know. I just heard that in the news the other day.
Well, Nash, thanks for giving us your premonitions here. thank you very much. Emily, are we going to see some independent counsels? Are we going to see some big-time investigations on the Hill?
Well, I think there will be at least some investigating going on. And in line with that, we certainly are going to see Scooter Libby's trial start in January, unless, you know, some very late in the day deal is in the offing, which seems unlikely. And we know that that trial is going to feature the testimony of Vice President Dick Cheney.
Right.
So if nowhere else, we should be learning some facts there.
My goodness. Anything else you want to throw out there?
You know, I think that the most, at least to me, the most obvious investigation is one about how we got into Iraq, really subpoenaing those intelligence documents and figuring out what the, you know, what the intelligence trail looked like and whether there were whether there was some cooking going on to make the facts more conducive to supporting the war. And, you know, that is something that the House Intelligence Committee certainly
sure.
could decide to take on.
Well, listeners, we are out of time, but maybe this time next year we will have to revisit the segment, see how much of this has actually happened, including some strange dreams and premonitions that some of our callers had. Emily, thank you so much for joining us, and Happy New Year.
You're welcome, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Nuala McGovern, Lisa Allison, Priya George, Alicia Abbott, and Kara Woodward. Special help today from Lo Leon Chong. That's Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. And I'm Alice Rhee, and for Brian Lehrer. Brian will be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.